Kids church. Miss Aubrey is going to be taking care of you guys downstairs. She's got a fun activity and scripture reading and everything else. Thank you, Isaiah. That's perfect. All right. Well, I don't know if there's anything that I can add to what Dawn has already said, but I think this. I think she mentioned something about this s'mores making machine. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I thought it was something that you do by the campfire, but apparently you can do that indoors as well. And that's a donation from my sister-in-law, her sister. So anyway, things like that that you can bring. And I think we raised a little over $1,000 last time, which would be enough to cover some of the expenses like two rental cars. You know, they're going to need that with the amount of kids that are going, and my kids and couple of, I think like three, four other kids that are here in the congregation is going to come along as well. So anyway, the fundraiser is going to really help towards all the expenses that they have, and of course food and all the other things that kids would want to do when they travel and go to Anchorage. I don't know, they like to go out to eat, you know, when over there, because apparently there's no restaurant here that they like. So I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, the title of the message today is The Taste of Expectation. Now, this was totally unplanned, okay? I preached the very first message of the year on the sound of expectation. And I thought that was just going to be a one-time message, sound of expectation, and we move on. And guess what? The next week, as I'm praying and I'm preparing for the message, and the sight of expectation came up. And I believe just totally the Holy Spirit. And we talked last week about the story of blind Bartimaeus. And as I'm preparing again this week, and I thought that was going to be it. And guess what came up? The taste of expectation. So I would say expectation is the common thing there, right? Taste, sight. I believe the theme for all of us, our church, and maybe even for you personally in your family, is expectation. Expectation. Expect God. Expect God to move. Expect God to do something that only Him can in your life, in your family. So when you set that level of expectation, it carries hope. Hope that is founded not on your emotions, not on what you can see in the natural, not based on your experience even. Hope that is found in the Word of God, where God Himself is setting the expectation for you. Because most of us, we don't like to set expectations for many reasons. Because if we set the wrong expectation and we fail, and guess what? We're like, oh man. That was such a letdown. We've let other people down. But when you allow God to set those expectations for you, it's not about your performance anymore. It's about what God can do. So allow God to set those expectations for you. So this morning we're going to talk about the taste of expectation. Our opening scriptures, so appropriate for this. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you got to write this down, because I think it's something that you're going to need throughout this year so that you can know where to go and find that taste. The taste and the sight, they go hand in hand. It's so funny. Like I said, I never really saw it in that light. But when I was preparing, I'm like, wow, look at this. Sight, see, and taste, they are connected when it comes to expectation. When you're expecting God, you're expecting to see and to experience God's goodness, you must taste and see that he is good, that he is a good God. And it's like an invitation from God himself to come to him and expect him to fill you up. To fill you up with his goodness, with his love, with his kindness, with his grace, with his mercy. It's an invitation at a buffet. With God, when you come in, everything that you need is found at his table. Everything that you need in life, whether it's healing, whether it's compassion, whether it's anything that you need, provision. You come to his table and you get filled. You get to taste and you get to see how good he is. Now, this expectation that we talk about, it's based on his faithfulness. The faithfulness of God. His faithfulness is the one thing that drives us forward. We can rely on his faithfulness. Even when we are not faithful, guess what he is? He's always faithful. He's always faithful. That's something that we can set our expectation on, is the faithfulness of God. And the more you trust him, the more you can see that he's good. The more that you trust him, the more that you can experience that level of faithfulness. In Psalm 37, verse 3, another good one to know, to memorize this year, would be trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Here's that word again, feed. Taste. Partake of his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. Our faithfulness depends on how faithful he is. Isn't that crazy when we think about, I want to be faithful to do something, but in my own strength, I might fail. I might not be as faithful as I'm claiming to be, but if I stay in the place where he's called me, and I do good, and I do and remain what he's called me to do, guess what? I can feed in that place on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land. That's important. Dwell in the land. Stay planted where God has called you. Stay planted. Grow your roots in the place where God has called you. Don't leave your post. Don't abandon your position. Don't abandon your responsibilities in the place where he's called you. Dwelling in the land means you take ownership of the place. You take ownership of the job that you're doing. Whatever God has called you to do, you take ownership of it. That's what it means by dwell in the land. Take ownership. Take authority over what God has given to you, your sphere of influence. Dwell in the land, do good, and feed on his faithfulness. Taste and see that the Lord is good in the place where he's called you, in the place where he's calling you by your name and saying, I want you to stay here. I want you to remain in that position. And in that position, you're going to experience my grace, my mercy. You're going to see my presence. You're going to come to this place and you're going to taste and you're going to see that I am a good God. And in that place, you would feed on my faithfulness. It's like when we remain in that place and we feed on his faithfulness, the more faithful we become. The more engaged we are in God's process. But if we disengage in what God is doing, before we know it, we've lost heart. We don't want to come anymore. We don't want to do this anymore. We don't want to apply ourselves anymore because we've lost heart. God is saying when you remain in that place, when you do what he's called you to do, you would feed on his faithfulness. The more you feed on his faithfulness, you're going to see that he's a good God. And the more that you see that he's a good God, the more you're going to apply yourself to whatever task that he's called you to do. And the more that you do it, the more that you're faithful. The more that you do it, the more that you can wake up in the morning and say, I want to do that one thing that God has called me to do. So that's why when we wake up in the morning, you go back to God and you say, you know what? I've come to taste and to see that you are a good God. I've come to this place to trust you, to dwell in the land, to trust you, to do good, and to feed on your faithfulness. In other version, it says, graze on his faithfulness. Talking about a sheep that goes into the pastures and they'll go in and they will graze from that pasture, because there's always something good that God has set aside for that one sheep. So we are the sheep of his pasture. So every morning when we go in, we find that pasture. And then we go in and we go in with that expectation that we will go and we will taste and we will see that the Lord is good. That he set aside a plot for us to go and graze. And when we're grazing on his faithfulness. We're experiencing that God is a good God. Because we are seeing him, we are experiencing his presence. That's his faithfulness. That is the taste of expectation. So when you go into this pasture, you're expecting to be fed. You're not expecting to go there and say, there's nothing there for me. If you come with that expectation that God will meet you right there where you are, guess what? You're going to find him. But if you come in maybe with an expectation that, oh, you know what, I'm just going to go, but he might not even be there. There might not be even anything for me to eat. Guess what? You might not even find it. But when you go, come in and you come with a heart of expectancy, you're expecting to find God, to eat, to graze on his faithfulness. Guess what? You're going to find it. When you look for the good, guess what? You find the good. If you look for the bad, guess what? The bad will find you. It's easy. It's kind of like a reverse psychology. When you go in into a certain place, if you're going with a rotten attitude, guess what? You're going to have a rotten attitude. And you're going to affect everybody else around you. But when you come in with a positive attitude, I want to be a problem solver. I want to be a peacemaker. When you come in, guess what? People get attracted to you. Like, oh, he's going to come in with solutions. Because he knows the one who gives the solutions to the problem. So when you come in with that kind of attitude, you would experience the faithfulness of God. That's what he says, dwell in the land. Trust in the Lord, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. That's the taste of expectation. Faithfulness means this: true to one's work. True to one's work. Is that something that qualifies you? That certainly qualifies God. He's true to his work. When he does something, it's always a masterpiece. Just look at you. He made you his masterpiece. True to one's value. God himself has declared that you and I, we are valuable to him. We are valuable to him. Faithfulness means steady. Isn't God steady? Is always there, is always constant, is original. There is no other God besides him. He's the only God. So he's original and he's always accurate. He's always on point, on task. He never misses anything. He's never made a mistake. That's God. His faithfulness means all of that. And I love this quote from Joyce Meyer, talking about the faithfulness of God. He says, faithfulness is not doing something right once, but doing something right over and over and over. That's God. God, his faithfulness would always do the right thing, not just once, but over and over and over again. Guess what? When we trust God and we feed on his faithfulness, we also can do something right, not just once, but over and over and over again. His faithfulness rubs off on our faithfulness. It's like we come up to his level of faithfulness when we serve him, when we dwell in the land, when he's called you and I to dwell in. When we come in with this kind of attitude and we approach life, we approach anything with that kind of positive attitude that our God is a good God and we serve him. We are the sheep of his pasture. Guess what? We've raised our level of expectation. We are matching his. It's not us based on our good looks, our good understanding. It's based on him. His faithfulness is being matched by who he is. Because he's good, so we also can be good. We can do good things. We can do good works. Because we serve a good God. So we can be consistently faithful, doing the right thing, not just once, but over and over and over again. How many of you, that could be your expectation this 2025? I want to do good, not just once. I want to do good over and over and over again. I want to be on time at work over and over and over again. Everything that I set my hand to do would be for the glory of God. I don't want to do it just one time. I want to do it over and over and over again, just like God. That is an expectation that we can set, not based on our own strength, but based on who he is. He's a good God. And I guarantee you, every day when you wake up, if you go in to his pasture as a sheep, looking for that place for you to graze, to feed on the faithfulness that is already made available for you right there for that day, you would be faithful. You would step into the workplace faithful, with a grateful heart, knowing that God has called you there. Doing what you're doing right now with a good heart, with a good attitude, you would graze on his faithfulness. You would do good things over and over and over again. That's the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness means I will keep my word. That's his faithfulness. God will always keep his word. I will not fail you. I will always love you. And I will always rescue you. How many times have we failed and we need God to come in and to rescue us, to pull us out of a mess that we've created because we are not perfect? But we can trust on his faithfulness that God will always be there. He will always be there because his word says that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. So we can trust in him. That even though we fail and we mess things up, that God will come in. As a good father, he will come in and show us where we've messed up. Because he wants to teach. He wants us to grow. He wants us to graze on that level of faithfulness so that we know that he is faithful. He said he's committed to you and I. That's the commitment that he has. He will come and he will pull us out. He would lead us. He will guide us. He will provide for us. And guess what? He will also correct us. Put us on the right path. That's a faithful God. That's a faithful God. When he will come in and push us out of the mess and say, here's the path. Stay on it. Stay on it. Keep my word before you. Let my word be a lamp to your feet. And a light to your path so you can see where you're going. That's the faithfulness of God. So every time when you open up the Word of God, oh, on your phone, whatever it might be, there's a light that comes out that shines a path right before you so that you can see where the green pasture is. You don't have to find your way in the dark. You open up the word, you see the green pasture. Oh, that's it. That's the place where I need to go and graze and find the goodness of God. Right there in the place where he's called me to be. So the challenge for all of us in 2025 is to get into his word so that we can graze on his faithfulness, so that we can see that he's a good God. We can taste that he's a good God. He's the bread of life. So that's why the word says, come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. The only way we can taste is by eating the word that gives you and I life, abundant life. He's the word made flesh. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. That's why we can taste and see that he's a good God. So as we set the stage for 2025, this is the third week. Still time. Still time to set the stage. I want to give you three nuggets on the faithfulness of God that you can taste that level of expectation by knowing that he's a faithful God. Number one is his faithfulness is everlasting. His faithfulness is everlasting. Psalm 117 verse 12 says, for his unfailing love for us is powerful. His unfailing love is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. It endures forever. His faithfulness is everlasting. It endures forever. His faithfulness is based on this unconditional love that he has for you and I. And the word here says that his unfailing love is powerful. His faithfulness is based on that unconditional love that he has for you and I. Unconditional. Not based on how much we even love him. It's not even based on that. This is how much the Father loves you and I. It's not even based on our capacity to love him back. It's like we can take us out of the equation and he will still love us no matter what. That's this unfailing love. Unconditional love. Even when you and I, we are unlovable. We've messed up and we are unlovable to him. But guess what? He still shows us that same unfailing and unconditional love. His faithfulness is not just for you and I, but it goes on from generation to generations. In Psalm 100 verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness continues to each generation. Each generation. The faithfulness of God is not just for you and I. It's also for your children and their children. See, that faithfulness can rub off to your children's children. Because when you're faithful, guess what? Guess who's watching your faithfulness? Your children. Other people around you, they're watching whether or not you are faithful. You're committed to whatever God has called you to do. You are doing it. You're not stopping. You're not quitting. You're staying true to what God has called you to do. That's faithfulness. It's not just for you. It's also for your children's children. I want you to hold on to this for 2025. That this faithfulness that you're experiencing day by day would not only just be for you, but also for your children and their children. Number two, his faithfulness is unwavering. Unwavering. It cannot change. It cannot falter. It's always constant. Lamentations 3, 21, 23. This is Jeremiah is writing this. He's saying, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." Now he's writing this around 500 and some BC. And the Babylonians, they've come in, they've invaded Jerusalem. And thousands of people have been taken into captivity. Some of them are dying on the street. It's a total mess out on the street. And guess what? He's saying this is reminding himself. He's saying, I'm recalled to mind of the faithfulness of God. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. He's saying we could have, all of us could have died right there. But because of God's mercy, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Isn't that crazy? That's an amazing song, right? Great is thy faithfulness, O God. That's where that song came out of. Great is the faithfulness of God because we are seeing all the destruction around us. But our God is always faithful. So he's recalling that in his mind. He's bringing him back to his memory that his God is faithful no matter what's happening around us. See, that's something that you and I, we need to keep in mind, that our God is faithful. Things might not be working exactly the way that we intended to work, but our God is still faithful. Bills needs to be paid, but our God is still faithful. I'm not experiencing the healing, the restoration that I want to experience, but guess what? My God is still faithful. See, the more we recall and we bring to remembrance that our God is faithful, we're going to see the victory come. God doesn't want us to abandon things and walk away from our positions, from our place where he's called us to be. Because if we do, we'll give a spot for the enemy to occupy. The enemy wants us to quit. The enemy wants us to give up. But when we remember and we bring to remembrance what God has done and what he's done throughout our lives, guess what? We have hope. Hope, the word hope means certain expectation. It's for certain. It's going to happen. It's that level of expectation. I have hope. I have hope because I know my God. We've all gone through difficult times. Times where even our faith has gone down. We felt to the place, maybe to a place where we feel like our faith is faltering. It's collapsing. But even when we are not faithful, our God remains faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Now that's reassuring, right? Even when we mess up in our own human shortcomings, our God is always faithful. See, his faithfulness does not depend on you and I. It does not depend on us. He's faithful because that's who he is. He's good not because we are good. He's good because that's who he is. He'll never change. He will always stay the same. So we don't have to perform. The expectation, the pressure of us saying we have to perform, we have to be good to get God. No. You don't have to. He'll love you no matter what. He'll be faithful no matter what. The word says that even when we are faithless, he's always faithful. So don't let your mistake of the past disqualify you from the faithfulness of God, from his unfailing love, from his grace, from his mercy. In fact, the word of God says, come boldly to the throne of his grace, where you may find mercy and grace in times of need. So when do you need grace and mercy? When you do mess up, right? God doesn't want you to run away from his throne when you've messed up. He wants you to approach him when you mess up. Just like you when you're a parent. If your kids are doing something that is bad, you don't want them to hide it away from you. You want them to come clean and come and approach you, knowing that you're a good parent. You will not judge. You would love unconditionally. You want them to come to this safe place where they would know that they would find this unconditional love. This unmerited grace, this undeserved mercy. God wants you and I to approach him in that same manner, knowing that he's a good God, knowing that he's faithful even though we are faithless. See the story of the prodigal son. When he made the decision to leave home, taking his inheritance prematurely. See, in the Jewish culture, when you go in and you ask the father who is still alive, you ask for your inheritance. It's as if you're asking your father, I wish you were dead. Give me what is mine. I wish you were dead. Guess what the father did? He said, here you go. Whatever I have was always yours. So he went and he spent everything that he had. But then he fell into hard times and he realized that he had a good father that would love him unconditionally, that would always be faithful. Guess what he did? I'm going back home. I'm going to approach my father because I know that he's a good father. I know that he's faithful. So he got back home, and the very first thing when the dad saw him, he ran to him. That's the unconditional love of a father. He ran to him. He had rags on. He took off the rags and said, I'm going to put on a brand new robe. It's called the robe of righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. He said, put on this robe on him. And he said, you are now in right standing with me. Didn't ask him, what did you do? What kind of mess did you get in? The father already knew. He looked bad. He smelled bad. He already knew. The unconditional love of the father said, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to put you in right standing with me. The second thing the father did was put on a ring. on his finger. He put this ring on his finger, and that was his name. Back then, that was the ring that gave the name to the family. So put on, say, you have a name. You belong to me. You're my son. You're my daughter. And then he put on the sandals on his feet. These are the sandals of sonship. You are no longer a slave. You are a slave to sin. But now you're a son of mine. See, restoration comes in when we approach God the Father in such a way. Knowing that he's a good God. Knowing that he's faithful even when we are faithless. That's why Psalm 37 reminds us of this. To trust him. To do good. To dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. So in 2025, let that be your expectation. Let that be your expectation that you're going to experience the unwavering faithfulness of God. You'll find him. You'll find it in times where you're like, oh man, this thing is not even working right. I trusted God in this and I'm not seeing the result. Trust him even more. Praise him even louder. Believe him all the way through. Don't allow the enemy to bring the spirit of fear and doubt. Put that to the side. Recognize that God is good, that he's always faithful. He's called you, he's provided for you, he's equipped you, he's empowered you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. When you know this, you know the promises of God, you can apply that to every part of your life and experience the goodness of God. And see him for who he is. And number three, his faithfulness is guaranteed. Guaranteed. Psalm 119:89 says, "For forever, O Lord, your word is settled." Settled. Your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generation. The word settle means kind of like in a legal term, the case is settled. It's done. It's finished. It's settled. As a matter of fact, when Jesus died on the cross, guess what he said? The last few words, it's finished. It's settled. That victory is settled. You don't need to go and fight for that victory again. You just need to walk in the victory. That's victory over sin, over death. You and I, we can walk in that victory. It is finished. It is settled. And the other word is endures, means it's guaranteed forever. It's enduring from one generation to the next generation to the next one. We'll always see the faithfulness of God. It endures forever. That's because Jesus himself, he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's bound to his word. Just like his word can never change, neither can God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hebrews 13:8. He doesn't change. He will always stay the same. That's a confession that you and I, we need to remind ourselves of this. That our God will never change. My God is still the same. He's still the same, same God. Same God. He's still my Jehovah Jireh. He's still my Jehovah Rapha. He's still my healer, my provider. He'll never change. Because that's who he is. That's an expectation. A confession that you and I, we need to hold on to. Would you please stand as we get ready to close? I want to take you to this last scripture. Hebrews 10:23. as you navigate through the rest of 2025. I want you to hold on to this confession in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Hold on to that hope. Hold on to that word, to that promise that you started the year with. Don't waver. For he who promised is faithful. See, the word said, he's faithful. He made a promise and he's faithful to carry it through. God is faithful. He's faithful. He will carry it through until it's fully done. Let's pray. Whatever you believe in God for you, for your family, hold on to that confession. Hold on to that word. Hold on to that vision. Father, this morning we are making this decision that throughout this year, the 2025, Lord God, we will hold on to the word, to the hope that you've given to us. We will not waver, but we will hold fast. Just like you are constant, we will also be constant. Just like you are steady, we will also be steady. Renew in us a new spirit, a new fire inside of us to seek you more. To search the word even more in 2025. To truly feed on your faithfulness. The faithfulness of your word, your promises. Let your word, as we read throughout your word in 2025, let your word come alive. And revive us, change us. From the inside out. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. And pray for safe travel for Don and Elijah to come back home safely with us. All right. God bless you all. And I'll see you again next week.